Bung Bung. Make sure you go to claymcmathcomedy.com for all your podcast merch and all my tour dates. We have got a ton of dates coming up. I don't even know where to start. Millager's Distillery is the next gig, I think, in Port Adelaide. We got Victor Harbour coming up. We've got a bunch. We got two shows in Mount Gambier, Halls Gap, Ararat. You understand what I'm saying. We've got a bunch of gigs coming up. So go to claymcmathcomedy.com and click on the shows tab and you'll be able to find exactly where we're at when we're there and buy your tickets as soon as possible to save us money on marketing, basically. And also, if you share the show, you automatically enter yourself into the draw to win free Welcome to the Potty merch at the end of each month. You share the show twice, 2,000 times, you get as many entries as you share the show that month, and you'll never win the same merch twice, until you actually clear the whole store, and then we can talk about, I don't know, cash prizes or something. Think about that. But claimingmathcomedy.com, tell a friend to tell a friend about Welcome to the Potty.
That. Perk up and level up with Bung Bung Coffee's delicious modern dark roast, your favorite brewer's favorite brew. BungBungCoffee.com.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Captain, the LeBron James of podcasting, and I'm here once again with Boardman, aka Uncle Bell, aka the JJ Redick of podcasting.
Okay.
Although we've been in the game much longer than them, I don't know when JJ Redick started his first podcast, but I dare say Welcome to the Potty started before that.
Yeah, I think you got him covered on that one. His was like 3 or so years ago.
They think they're, you know, basketball savants. I think, you know, maybe not. Yet to be determined in my eyes.
Yeah, no, I think they got a pretty good idea of what they're talking about.
What did you think about the news coming out about that podcast and the fact that Draymond Green's been sucking whatever comes out of LeBron's asshole into his own mouth for years now and didn't get the call up?
Didn't get a feature even.
Yeah.
Has LeBron gone on his podcast before?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I'll take that as a slight if I was Draymond.
I believe his whole game has been for this. He's been, he goes on vacation with Braun. He goes to the baby shower, the wedding, someone's birthday. You know, he goes and signs with Clutch.
Yeah, he's talking about like not even playing his own games to go to LeBron's milestone ones.
Yeah, like that's insane.
Crazy.
It's, you know, it's gay, but it's just like, it's crazy talk. Like, and this is what's wrong with the league. People talk shit about Dylan Brooks, Dylan the villain. We need that. We need motherfuckers that aren't best buds coming in and talking shit, maybe with a little bit more of a skill set than Dylan Brooks. I like Ant Edwards. He comes out and he'll talk a little bit of shit on the court in his post game presser. You know, his little interview on the court, he'll just be like, yeah, they're too small for me out there. Like, I love that. You got a guy from Golden State rimming a guy from LA for some reason. Like,
yeah, not a good look.
It doesn't set up good competition. It doesn't set up fair play because of everyone trying to sign with each other and all the friendship bullshit in the off season and shit. Like, there's no competition anymore. There hasn't been for a long time. It was good to see Denver win. You know, they built their own. It was good to see the Warriors win the fourth one. They did it themselves, and also the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee as well. Is that what I already said? No, I said Denver. Yeah. So those, you know, a few championships have come out without manufacturing, but you know, the first two in Miami, the one in Cleveland.
So what are we defining as manufacturing? Is that when you bring in like a player who then becomes one of your top two players? Or is it okay to bring in a guy like on the fringes to be your third?
Like who's on the fringes?
Like I guess Denver, like, yeah, they brought in Aaron Gordon. He's a pretty important piece to that run.
We're talking superstar team ups. We're talking LeBron, Wade, Bosch.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking Garnett, Pierce, Allen.
Okay.
With Rondo, who was drafted. Like, that's the same as LeBron going back for Kyrie. Like, you see something special was over here, we're going to go over here. We can't match up with this, so we're going to go and do that.
Yep.
Yeah. LA, of course, with their one. They had Rondo, Braun, Davis. Those were the main three. I can't remember who else they had.
Dwight
got a chip
that
year? They had Dwight, KCP.
McGee was there. I'm still salty they let that core go.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy lineup. Yeah. But, sorry, I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, just like the whole, he's been angling himself, going back to Draymond, for this moment. And Bron has decided to go with JJ Redick.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
They never even played together.
No.
I thought it was a strange matchup. Like, obviously, JJ is a great analyst. Probably my favorite analyst.
Yeah, at the moment, for sure.
Yeah, he actually has been in the shoes on the court. He's a smart guy. He went to Duke University. And he's had a long career as one of the guys in Orlando and then as a significant role player pretty much everywhere else he's been.
Outside of the Clippers, where else did he go?
Philly?
Yeah, that's right.
Did he end up in Brooklyn or was that...
I don't know.
Because he had a home in Brooklyn. I think he was living in Brooklyn playing for Philly.
Playing Philly, that sounds right to me.
Yeah. So I don't know if I don't think he ever played in Brooklyn. But yeah, like he's my favorite college player of all time. Oh, that's a lie. Probably top three.
Mavericks, Pelicans, Bucks.
I don't remember.
I kind of remember the Pelicans.
I remember
there was
Pelicans.
A bit of talk about like he'd made the playoffs every year of his career until he went there.
Right. Okay. I remember Pelicans. I remember Dallas. Now that you say it, I do not remember Bucks at all.
Yeah, I don't remember the Bucks. It was just one season.
Yeah. Right. But he, I mean,
28 games.
He's always just like a threat on that 3-point line. He cooks it up, and he's not someone that I've ever watched though. Like Draymond, as much as I like to talk shit about him, you can tell he's got a great basketball mind. Like until probably the last couple of seasons, the nonsense that he's been, well, this season in particular, the nonsense that's been going on the court, which by the way, just segue to that. He needs to cut it out, man. Cause that's what he's about to just be remembered for that shit. And he's done too much to just be remembered for that.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah. The highs of his career really like quite a few years behind us now. And yeah, I think you're right. He's going to be remembered by this shit.
He needs to just figure out what's going on, man. I don't know if he played football as well at Michigan State, but he's acting like he's got CTE out there. Yeah. He's looking at AB. But back to, so he is somebody who I've historically watched and been like, he knows the game. He sees everything. Joker, another one. But JJ Redick was like a spot-up shooter. He wasn't the floor general. The offense wasn't being run through him. So it's hard to like watch him and think like, oh, he knows what's going on. But then he becomes an analyst and he clearly does. Like my favorite analyst. He's fantastic. He knows what he's talking about. But yeah, did I see Braun teaming up with him? 0%.
Yeah, I agree.
Did it drop this week?
The podcast itself. Couldn't tell you. I haven't listened to it.
Okay. No, I haven't listened to it. I don't know if it's... I don't even know if it's dropped.
I've seen like 1 30-second snippet from it. That's it for me.
The most impactful or influential players. Is that the clip?
No, I think it was a different one.
Oh, okay. Bron was talking about the most influential basketball players of all time. He said AI and Steph Curry. Even though Michael Jordan sort of... Men are stabbing other men over these sneakers, you know?
Yeah.
Grown men for shoes.
AI.
AI had everyone start with the tattoos and the braids. Like,
yeah.
I get that, and the handle
crossovers.
People wasn't really doing that. There was significant crossovers. Tim Hardaway, he was before. I'm trying to think of guys that like sort of handled the Rock before him. Chris Mullin played with it a bit, but no one really was like trying to like break dudes down off the dribble a whole lot. But like Michael Jordan, there's no Kobe Bryant without Michael Jordan. There's no LeBron James, who wears number 23, by the way. There's no shoe culture. It's just like a ridiculous thing to...
So leave him off that list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even mention him.
Yeah. Also, I didn't watch... I didn't watch the whole podcast. Maybe he mentioned Mike, and I only saw the clip where he mentioned Steph and AI. So I will put a disclaimer in there. As much as I don't want to for LeBron James, I'll put a disclaimer in there. Yeah, but what do you think? What do you think about... Do you think this podcast has got longevity? Do you think they do this for a number of years, or do you think it's just like...
I just really wasn't expecting it.
Neither.
I don't think the streets need it. I don't think anyone needs it.
No.
Yeah, we just... As a Lakers fan, we just want LeBron to fully focus on this season and getting it done, I think.
Yeah.
Man's got enough money, enough other side hustles. Maybe like... Because I can't see him coaching in retirement, but maybe in retirement, like going to podcasting, if that's something you're truly passionate about. But this year, I just don't see the point.
I'm not sure that I believe that he's truly passionate about it either.
Podcasting?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he is.
This is
without listening to it.
Yeah. I think he's pretty passionate about attention. I'll say that bluntly. And he'd like to see maybe a number one on a podcast chart. I think that'd make him chub up a little bit. But no, I don't. And then the amount of money this man has, it's not a move about finances.
No.
He's not, from what I know, and I don't, you know, I'm not in the world, but like, I can't imagine he's particularly close with JJ Redick for some, like, they've never played together. Why would they just be close friends for some reason?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if this is a move to like, maybe start a podcast network.
Yeah, potentially that could be something. But on the money side of things, I saw him tweet the other day that he's partnered up with DraftKings, which is a sports betting app.
Yeah.
Now, I've said this a million times. I'm open for a bag. If a betting agency, Sportsbet, Ladbrokes, Bet365, TAB, I'm trying to name them all just so they all know they're welcome here at the Welcome to the Potty Podcast. Neds, whoever you are, if you want a partnership, we are up for it. I understand that is selling your soul to the devil because gambling, one, historically, before the cost of living crisis, has broken people. Now people are like, got no other option, and they're just like relying on it, trying to get some cash because they got bills to pay and they can't do it, and then they break themselves even more. And then you've got this guy that thinks he's doing great things for like students and the youth, and then he's promoting gambling, which is like gambling. It is this, you may as well be promoting drugs. Like gambling is horrific. I gamble every day. That's called an addiction. I just think it's crazy for him. He doesn't need that bag.
No.
I think it's a really bad look. Like I said, this is hypocritical because I'll take the bag. DraftKings wants to come this way. I'll tell you how good gambling is right now. But LeBron James, who's a billionaire, I believe he was the first active billion, or maybe second after Tiger.
Yeah. No, he'd have to be, because there wouldn't be any talk about him owning an NBA franchise if he was just a millionaire.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty bad look as well. But, I mean, I wonder if I'd say that if it was Steph, you know, Light Skin Nation represent.
Yeah, I guess just any of those top tier guys, it's probably not a good look, like endorsing gambling outlet.
The whole NBA endorses it now,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that's why
grimy.
It probably feels like he's got the green light for leagues doing it. There's no reason he can't.
And because they're endorsing it, that's why Rudy Gobert got fined so heavily.
Oh yeah,
he did this to the ref. I can't remember what the call was. I actually don't think I was watching that game. Got fined 100 stacks compared to Was it Anthony Edwards? I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I don't want to, like, allegedly. Somebody said no homo on the court in their post-game interview on the court. Got 25 stacks. And Draymond, for punching Nurkic, I think got 25 stacks. Yeah, plus games.
Yeah.
But this is this 100K. So hate speech and physical violence get less of a fine than this. That to me says there is a little bit of the not match fixing, but there's a narrative. There may be a script somewhere where we need some teams to win a certain amount of games.
Yeah, I think the league's moral compass is just a bit all over the place.
Yeah, and like I like Adam Silver. I also liked David Stern, and David Stern was not about any fuck shit. You know, Malice at the Palace, full season, you're out. Mike, there's a conspiracy that he was asked to leave for a year because we can't actually suspend you. It's a bad look for suspending you for gambling, you know?
That's right.
So there's people think that he was maybe asked to leave, but David, because David Stern, he's not having it. You're the face of the league, but you got to get the fuck out of here for a minute. David Stern wasn't about any fuck shit. Adam Silver, he's a players commissioner, and he's sort of just like, whatever you guys want, man, you know?
Yeah, keeping the stars happy.
Yeah. So I fuck with them both, but on like different levels, you know? And with the podcast, you know my stance on LeBron James. He's not one that I particularly want to hear from on anything. And that got me thinking, who would be the top five players that we don't want to hear from in the NBA? Because LeBron is one well-documented for being a liar, fabricator, and sort of pumping himself up and then coming back and saying, like, I'm not comfortable with praise, that type of bullshit. That's why I don't really want to hear from LeBron James. Who else do you feel like you wouldn't want to hear from in the NBA?
Are we just talking current players or people that might be in the media already that were players?
Let's go current players. Let's go active players.
Current, active. I need a bit more time. Sorry, I know this was my homework and I slipped up.
Okay.
The first name I wrote was someone who's in the media that doesn't play anymore.
Kendrick?
I don't want to hear another word.
I never wanted to hear him as an analyst. That's crazy. Mine would, like, you got to consider somebody like Kyrie. He's a little bit left of field, which in this day and age is a good thing. I think people need to be skeptical of what they're being bottle fed from the media. But, like, he is a what do they call it? Contrarian for no reason. Everything that anybody says or anybody believes, he's like, well, I believe the opposite. And that's annoying. That gets tiresome. In saying that, we haven't had any off-court issues with him this year, or I think in Dallas at all.
No, it's been pretty smooth sailing. I think there was a little injury at one point, but...
Yeah, so maybe Mark Cuban, you know, speaking of players commissioner, this guy's a players owner.
Is he officially out of ownership yet?
No, didn't he run on the court when Kyrie hit that left-handed hook shot?
No, so I think he's like still, if this deal went through, I think he's still affiliated with the team. Maybe like a basketball operations type role, but he won't actually be an owner anymore.
Right. But up to this point, he's been the owner while Kyrie's been there, and there's been no Kyrie issues. But he would probably, I think he'd be in my top five of guys I don't want to listen to.
Yeah, that's fair.
My next one would be Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I think that's well documented here on the show.
Yeah, I just think he's got his master's degree, and there's a lot of people with master's degree, and you all need to listen to this. Just because you've got a master's degree, that means you know everything about one thing. Or not even everything. That means you know a lot about one thing. A lot of people with master's degrees or doctorate's degrees think they know everything about everything. And this is one of those guys. Because, you know, he's the youngest person to ever have lectured at Harvard University.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So he thinks he's pretty good. but he comes and he's talking all this shit. And he, you know, even with things that don't make sense. Oh, 65 games, you know, like that's a bit of a stretch, you know, blah, blah, blah. Name an MVP that didn't play 65 games. Karl Malone, I think you have to go back to.
Did we do that here on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, Halliburton's also on this complaining shit because he's been injured. Well, guess what, dude? You're not going to be MVP anyway, so who gives a fuck? But yeah, they don't want to miss out on all NBA and all that as well, I guess. But like, play. You guys get paid so much money, man. I'm allowed, what is it, when you go on annual leave? 4 weeks?
Yeah, 4 weeks. Yeah.
So 20 days. 20 days of annual leave out of, well, not 365, 50 times, 52 times. So out of 250, so I'm down at 210, right? 210 work days if I take my annual leave in the year.
Sorry, where were we?
Because we're removing weekends as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you're about 210 work days, which is probably still equivalent to more than 65 out of 82 games. So you're getting paid, what, $30 million, $35 million a year, and you're not going to play 65 games, bro? Like, you got to play. They're not making sense. So, yeah, probably Jaylen Brown, Kyrie, LeBron. I've got to say, there's another guy that I don't really want to listen to. That's talking.
He's already talking?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Pat Bev.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've heard a lifetime share of his shit already.
Dude, it's funny because like you got to respect anyone that gets into the NBA. Like Pat Bev came into the NBA and identified a role for himself and that was going to be a defensive player. You know, in high school, he averaged like 31-8-8.
Yeah, I've heard that. I can't imagine it. I can't picture it. But
that is what NBA, that is how good NBA players are. He did that in high school and then went and averaged 6 points for his career. Like that is what an NBA player, like, so when you start looking at like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like what he would do to Pat Bev in high school, like that's how good the best of the best are.
Yeah, there's levels.
Yeah. And this guy has a podcast and he's talking like he thinks he's a savant, by the way. He thinks he's like a savant / gangster. And he, like, I don't care. I don't want to hear from the guy that averages 6 points, you know?
Yeah, I feel you, man. No, I just don't like the guy that averages, or that guy in particular.
That guy in particular. He's like a little chihuahua. Like he's just always yapping. And then if I was going to do one more, and I'll do one more in an honorable mention. One would be Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, shit. Hey, he's such a clown, man.
He's like, in my eyes, he's a step above my honorable mention we'll get to. But he doesn't seem like he wants to play basketball. He wants to do fashion. He's dating a model and now all of a sudden he thinks he's a model and he wants to do modeling. You know, he's trying to keep up with her. I think he's dating that, I forget her name, Whiskey Harlow? No, can't be Whiskey. Whitney, maybe.
Whitney Harlow.
Something Harlow. And she's got the vitiligo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen her before.
I think he's dating her and now he thinks he's a model and he's like trying to be a model. It's like, you got to get some buckets, my man.
Yeah. Is their record still worse than the Pistons? Because that'll be
last time I checked it was, but I haven't checked probably in a couple of days.
I really hope that it ends up being worse than
the Pistons. Me too. It's so annoying.
Oh, just take a day off work and surf Twitter that day.
Yeah. And then, so my honorable mention, I think, is like Ben Simmons, man.
Feel like we never hear from him anyway. I don't think we're going to hear anything from him when he's done with basketball.
And I don't want to. Yeah.
So, yeah, there was that talk of him playing in the Olympics this year, but I guess that's not happening anymore.
Is Gorgian coaching for us?
I don't know. I assumed so.
Because I thought he said something about, like, he's, like, not welcome.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Unless, and that's, it's all on Sorcerer, the Welcome to the Body podcast. And sometimes I see what I want to see. And
yeah, he's still the coach.
Okay. Maybe he said he is welcome, but I added a
maybe. Yeah, so looks like Ben Simmons is not going to say like found a way not to play, but it just feels that way. After all these years, there's always a reason why he's not playing for the Bucks.
Yeah, and he's just had a second back surgery, so like there's something going on in there. Yeah. A partial discectomy. But like there's always something. And it almost seems like karma. I think I might have said this on a past episode. You want to play the mental health card to get out of Philly, and now all of a sudden you actually can't play.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just karma, as you've said.
Yeah. Yeah, but what do you think of that list?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
It's all pretty fair. Nothing too out of left field.
Yeah, and I put a couple of light-skinned guys on there, so it's not all... I'm not always biased towards the light-skinned guys, but nah, those guys, I don't want to hear from them.
I've only got one dude on my list.
Who you got?
At this point in time, anyway. It's Scotty Barnes. Just because I can't understand a word he's saying anyway. So I don't want to hear anymore.
Scotty Barnes, man. The simple jack of the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad option. You know, and maybe him and Buddy Hield can start a dentistry podcast or something. All right. Should we get into Clay's reviews?
Let's do it.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting, lighting, or costumes? This segment is Clay's Reviews.
All right, this was your pick this week.
Yeah, Society of the Snow.
Society of the Snow. It's a well-documented story. I think this is the third or possibly even fourth movie about this incident. Go read us the plot.
The flight of a rugby team crashes on a glacier in the Andes. The few passengers who survive the crash find themselves in one of the world's toughest environments to survive.
Mm. So I thought it was a soccer team, but apparently, yeah, I guess it was a rugby team. There's another movie from maybe the early or late 90s called Alive, starring Ethan Hawke. And it's the same, yeah, it's the same thing. And I think that was actually a remake from an earlier one, maybe from the 70s even.
Sorry, so that was actually about this?
Yeah.
This same rugby team?
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like there is a soccer team that's crashed.
I thought there was too. Maybe it's not the Andes though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because up until this point, there had been people lost in the Andes and flights that had crashed in the Andes, and no one's ever been recovered up until this point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty crazy to watch it. Like,
did you watch it in Spanish or dubbed?
In Spanish.
Okay.
What about you?
Dubbed.
You dubbed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to watch it in Spanish, but Hannah was being lazy that night.
So yeah.
Okay. Got the dub up.
Did you get a snack going for it?
No, I didn't.
No?
No.
No. What are you doing to me, bro?
Yeah, no, I'm just fucking with you.
Okay.
not on purpose either. I don't know. This film just came on and we'd already eaten. No one was hungry.
Okay. I went with a chorizo.
Fitting?
Yeah. Because it was Spanish. looking at what happened, I probably should have got a slab of ribs or something, honestly. We can get into that. They crash in freezing temperatures. It's, yeah, no one's supposed to survive in this.
That crash scene was wild.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that, I'd like to know the effects that they used. Like, whether any of it was physical or if they just CGI'd the whole thing. Like, with the, you know, how everyone... all the chairs started colliding, man, and
legs getting crushed.
Yeah.
Wow, that was so full on.
Yeah, it was really well done. It looked so realistic.
Which surprised me because I didn't think this would be like a really high budget film.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like it had a bit of money behind it.
Yeah, and like they shot on location for some of it, I read. So yeah, they actually went to the crash site. I guess the plane's still there. Like, how do you get it out of there?
Yeah, surely it'd be like buried by now, I guess.
Well,
temperatures are heating up. Shit's probably melting around the world.
That's what it said. So one of the people is kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this either. One of the survivors does tours there. So he's like profiting off the shit. And I guess probably they do profit off it for the movie and stuff because they'd have rights to it. But
I mean, if he didn't do it, surely there'd just be some local bloke who had nothing to do with it.
What about your trauma, man?
Yeah, I just feel like if anyone's going to profit off it, it should be someone that actually has to live through it.
Yeah.
I don't hate that personally.
No, I don't hate it. It just seems a little bit fucked up. Yeah,
it's a bit twisted.
Yeah.
Like revisiting that place regularly where you went through all that.
Yeah. Obviously, the first thing that happens is they need to, like, make the remaining wreckage airtight so they're not freezing to death every night. So they're stacking luggage and blankets and all that type of stuff. And they're still freezing, obviously, but they're able to survive. And time goes on and they're getting hungry. They've eaten all their, you know, smoked oysters, their crackers, their chocolate. They've got nothing left. They're eating snow, doing whatever they can. Some of them start eating shoelaces.
Oh, dude, they're eating like leather seat covers.
Yeah, one guy has a scab. He picks his scab and he eats it. There was some pretty graphic stuff happening, but that was probably what hit me the hardest, that scab.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Dude munching on a cigarette.
That was
pretty grim.
Yeah, ate a cigarette. There was a guy. Oh, yeah, that was the same shot as the guy eating the shoelace. Like, you just get to a point, man, where it's like, I just need something in my stomach. But, like, I guess you're not thinking at the time, but, like, there's no nutritional value in that. There's no point.
No, and, like, some of that stuff, you're definitely doing more bad than good.
Yeah.
By even ingesting it.
Yeah. Plus, the altitude is a problem, so you get an altitude sickness. You get used to that after a while, but, like, you're going to dehydrate just from getting sick.
What else do they, is it like some sort of burn that you get from being around the snow? And it's just everything so bright in your eyes?
Oh.
Can't remember what the condition's called. But that's why that guy like made those makeshift goggles.
Oh, when they went out for the walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that's called. But yeah, it was so crazy, man, because they get to a point where they're starving and they've got two doctors on the trip. And so they're talking to him like, how long do we have? And the guy goes, have you ever heard of the rule of threes? You got 3 days without, 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. And I think they were getting close to that 3 week mark. I think they got to around 14, 18 days. Where they were like, we got to eat something. Some people died instantly in the crash. Some people died as they went slowly. And it got to a point where they were like, we either die with them or we try to survive. We've survived this long. Are we going to give up now? Or are we going to do this shit?
Yeah.
And that, they did it, man. Some of them didn't. Dude, what do you do?
I feel like if I was like lucky enough to have made it through the crash and I've survived like nearly 3 weeks. Yeah, I guess at that point it doesn't feel like any help's coming. So I think I'd eventually have to cave in and eat someone.
Yeah, I it's so easy to say like, oh, I wouldn't do that. You know how people talk about, and this is like not in no way related to this movie, but like people talk about the Holocaust and what all the Nazis did under orders from Hitler. And it was like, and you're like, why'd they do it? I just wouldn't do it. I was like, okay, well, you're dead.
You're dead, yeah.
So in this situation is the same in a respect. If you don't eat somebody, you're dead. And I'm talking about dead people where we're not killing somebody to eat them. And there was two guys, brothers, that cut the flesh off the body in private and gave it to the people willing to eat it so that they wouldn't understand, they wouldn't know who they were eating.
Yeah, and I guess taking away that connection just makes it that little bit easier.
Yeah. Some people covering it in snow and trying to just, without looking at it, eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, and obviously, like, with the temperature and the situation, they couldn't start a fire and cook it. They couldn't do nothing. They're eating raw human flesh.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I hate the idea of it, as I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And every listener listening to this, but yeah, I feel like eventually I'd cave in, and if you need to do it to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Person's already dead. You're not killing anyone.
I was thinking about, like, if I was in this situation, I survive, right? I don't think I've got the wherewithal to think about what weather might be coming or what supplies I need, if I need anything waterproof. And I think I wait 3 weeks before trying to get somewhere. So I think I actually end up dying like an hour away from the site.
Yeah. Hannah was saying that the whole time. She's like, why hasn't anyone just like gone off looking for help yet?
Yeah.
But then I guess you just look around them where they were and it's all just so like rugged. It's so unforgiving.
Yeah. And like obviously help is coming because like you're supposed to land somewhere and you never land. So
help did come. That had me fucked up when the planes were like going over them and just not seeing them.
Yeah. And then they walked, what, 200 meters up the hill and looked down. They were like,
no one can see. Oh my God.
We can't see the plane.
Yeah.
I would have probably thrown up in that moment, man. Like that, I felt so sick when that happened. But yeah, like, I just sort of thought, like, yeah, I probably would have just been like, I could get the fuck out of here. Like, we're going to die here. We're going to fucking die here, man. 2 days, I'd be like, what are we doing, man? They had, you know, and then you've got one guy who was one of the main survivors who was walking, just every day walking up and back.
Training
for a big trip. Like, I never in a million years would I be like, okay, I'm going to have to train for a couple of weeks, then we'll go. Like, I'm going to be weak in a couple of weeks because I'm not eating, you know?
Yeah, so
I'm
just weak from training too much.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go, man. And then one of the doctors said in that cold temperature, you're using twice as many calories, which I didn't even know was a thing, but it makes sense to keep yourself warm.
Yeah.
So maybe I've got to start cooling my house down or something. But yeah, like this guy's training plus also in the freezing cold, just burning calories. And he was one of the ones that, I don't know, do we spoil it? Everyone, people know this story. There were survivors. Two of them end up getting away. They travel for 10 days. I think they walked for 10 days.
Like,
and then they found someone and they managed to rescue.
I want to say like 50 kilometers is what they had to travel. And that's like going up and down mountains.
Do you know how many survivors there were in the end?
I think there were 16 or
16 17. Sounds right. Out of 42, I think.
Yeah, okay. I only found this out after watching it. I was doing a little bit of reading. Apparently, there was like an abandoned hotel resort in the Andes, like 20 Ks away from where they crashed.
Really?
Yeah. But like, obviously no one knew it was there.
Yeah.
Might not have been on any maps, but yeah, it would have been like the perfect place to get some refuge. I'm sure there would have been a few more survivors if they made it there.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's
in hindsight, but
yeah, but what are they supposed to do? And this is also a time, well, one, you don't think you're going to crash, so you're not going to look up what's around the Andes. And two, they don't have phones, or smartphones back then, or cell phones.
Yeah. I wonder, surely they would have had a map.
Hmm. I mean,
the chance of it getting destroyed in the crash.
Yeah.
Pretty high.
Getting destroyed or like the first things that's going to go flying out a window in a plane is paper. So it would have just been gone. Like, yeah. Now, there a couple of things which were like just cinematically unreal was the sound of like the wind, the snow, like when the storm came and buried the plane and then you could hear the plane creaking and stuff. Like I really felt like I was in there with them. I thought that was really good. The makeup was fantastic with all the bruising, the aging, the... I read that it was filmed in chronological order, which a lot of films aren't, but to allow the actors to continuously lose weight. So they must have actually starved themselves while they
definitely look like it in those end scenes.
Yeah, that heartbreaking, man. Yeah. And it just makes you think those two guys that made that walk, like, that's a hard walk without going through 3 weeks of not eating. Like, you want me to walk for 10 days right now?
No, it's not happening.
No.
No offense, dude. But
just the fact that those two pulled it off is unreal. And the second guy, so the one guy was the guy that was training, and the second guy, there was a clip of him playing rugby at the start of the movie, and he's like, he's just like a gun. He just runs and runs and runs. He's breaking tackles. And then there was a point where someone said, like, you've got to go. You've got the strongest legs. And so that, like, that was probably more of like a Hollywood addition to it. I don't think anyone probably said that to him, but I guess he was like a gun rugby player. So he was strong enough to make it, but he was one of the doctors as well. He was a med student. Mm-hmm. I think that can't remember if the doctor died or not, but the makeup with all the bruising and injuries, how dirty they started to get, what's it called when you start to freeze? Frostbite. The frostbite. Why do you think they had the Numa narrate? Was he like journaling, do you think? Because I didn't really make that clear. He's dead. He doesn't make it back, and he's narrating the story.
My take on that was he was the most relatable to what you'd expect from a viewer to feel in terms of like holding out on eating other people and the things that would be going through your head seeing the people around you do that.
Yeah. Okay.
That was my opinion on that. What do you think?
I couldn't figure it out. I was like, because he wrote like a note at the very end, I thought maybe he was journaling for the entire time. And everything he was saying was like written down in a journal, which I couldn't find evidence of that anywhere in my research. But okay. I was pretty confused. When I wasn't expecting him to die, I was expecting him to be a survivor. So when he died, same. Spoiler alert, I was just like, why have him narrate for that long and then pass away? Because now it's not making sense that he was narrating.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
Yeah, so, but yeah, no, I like that idea that he was the most relatable to the viewer.
Because he wasn't really judging the people that were. I feel like he kind of understood that they were doing that to stay alive.
Yeah.
But just morally, he just couldn't bring himself to do it until he had to right at the end.
Yeah.
It was life or death. Then he did it.
Yeah, and then it was pretty, like they reset up like situations where there's existing real photographs that were taken, and they took those photos in the movie, and then they showed them at the end, side by side with the movie one and the real one, and they were super accurate. And there was one where they chucked a suitcase over some of the bones.
Yeah,
and I looked at that, and that like that gave me goosebumps, man. Like that the real picture of that, I was just like, I would never want to see that picture again.
Nah.
If I was a survivor.
They kind of touched on that. They're just like, who are you taking these pictures for? Because there was one guy out there that was taking these photos.
Well, weren't they like kind of saying like, wasn't that when they were in a situation where they were just like, we are going to die?
Yeah.
So it was more like, no one's ever going to see these. I don't think it was like, if we make it, who are you going to show this shit to? I think it was more like, fair. You're taking these. No one's ever going to see them because we're all going to die. Yeah, that's how
Yeah, they were all in pretty negative headspace at that point.
Yeah. And have you ever been lost?
Not that lost. When I was like 4, I want to say, I got lost at Marion.
Oh, okay. I got lost in a Target once.
Yeah, I think
Marion's a bit bigger.
I think I was in Meyer in Marion.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really that lost in the end. I was just like one aisle over from where Mum was.
Yeah.
And I think her and my auntie had set it up to see how I'd react if I was lost.
Oh, that's fucking crazy, bro.
I think that was a test. And I passed it. You passed it? I didn't go running off. I just stayed where I was and kept yelling out.
So. I got lost in Target and I cried. And I went to the front desk and asked them to use the microphone.
So you would have passed the test as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's not a bad outcome. And I was young. I was young too. Like, I reckon, yeah, about same age. I don't reckon I was in school yet. Yeah.
Yeah, made it through.
Yeah.
Survivors.
Yeah, and I remember this other time, and I think I talked about this on the Welcome to the Potty podcast, but the first ever SA Comedy Road show with the guys that I'm touring with at the moment, we went to Swan Reach, and I took a wrong turn, and it wasn't the end of the world. I had to do a bit of a U-turn off of a highway and come back around. And when I came back around, this cat runs out in front of the car. I'm going 110. And I bodied the cat. And it got up and it ran off the road. And I like to think that cat still had a few lives left out of its nine, and it ran away and survived. But I hit that motherfucker so hard.
110.
Yeah, I reckon it had to have just got off the road and died somewhere. Like, I don't know, man.
Like, had you hit the brakes at all leading up to hitting the car?
No, dude, it came out. Like, I reckon it came. I was in the inside lane. Like, yeah, inside lane. Right, like the right lane.
Yeah.
And I reckon it came out of the median.
Yeah, okay.
And I belted it, and then I looked in my rear view, and the guy's like, whoa! They were back, and it like ran off the road.
You must have just hit its like tail or something. See, there's no way it could have survived like a front-on impact at 110.
Yeah, or like, I don't want to get into like the possibilities and the details and shit. I don't even really want to think about it. I felt sick when it happened. I'm not a cat lover, but I don't want to kill an animal like that. I can't remember if I talked about this weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. There was a bird on our front lawn, still alive, but basically being eaten alive by ants. And I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear the thought of it. And I picked it up and broke its neck. And a bird is like, I don't have anything against birds, but we eat, you know, like chicken. Yeah. And they're just like, they're more of like a, almost like a pest. Even if they're not a pest, they're like sky rats almost. But like, yeah, I think I teared up a little bit when I did it. I didn't like cry, but like I felt so sick. But I was like, I couldn't leave it there to just die a slow death.
Yeah, even though I've got like this irrational fear of birds, I feel like I'd have to do something about it. I wouldn't be picking it up though.
Oh, well, I got a chucks cloth and covered it, so I didn't have to watch it either.
Yeah, okay.
So I did it and just, details, but yeah, so maybe I could kill someone. Not kill someone, sorry. Maybe I could eat somebody then in the
Cut
Andes.
Someone up if you need to.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You know what it is, man. It's the Welcome to the Potty podcast on everything. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And, we got to give this.
Before we leave, yeah. What are you giving this?
I gave it an 8, man.
Okay.
What did you give it?
8.5.
Okay, yeah. Same page. It was really good. I think it was nominated. It was an Oscar nominated film. I think for definitely production design, maybe, if that's one, or makeup or something like that. Makeup and hair, maybe. But yeah, it was really well done from the beginning, and it was action early. You know how some of these movies, like, they try to do too much too early, and then like all the action happens in the third act. This was maybe end of the first act, beginning of the second act, maybe. Like, there was a little bit of setup and setting up this Numa guy. But apart from that, man, it was...
None of it was drawn out, though.
I was into it.
I was locked in the whole time.
Yeah. And I couldn't... I ended up watching it really late at night, and I needed to go to sleep, and I was just like, I've got to watch this.
Got to see how this ends. Yeah.
So good, man. Welcome to the Potty on Everything. You know what it is. Tell a friend to tell a friend. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.